Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So even if I miss the Chelsea one, I'm still good. Anyway, hey, what's up, everybody? This is the Talking Texas podcast. My name is Daniel.
It's your boy.
Oh, okay. We do the podcast every Tuesday. Remember to follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the Talking Tactics. If you're listening on Spotify, give us a follow. If you're on Apple Podcasts, subscribe. It's free. Leave us a five-star review and we'll read it on the show. I'm at Daniel to look. Half Hope, where can people get you on Twitter?
Half Hope Pop. Half Hope Pop.
What is your website?
Oh, halfoffootballhot.com. People can easily access my Instagram, my YouTube. Basically, it's like a nice landing page. Email me. So I receive a lot of emails that, oh, do you want to advertise? We want to advertise with you. So it's a great hub for like everything, you know. So it's
how long have you had that website?
As in a website or this version of the web website?
How long have you had that domain?
Oh, that domain. For a long time, long time. It's gone through a lot of changes, you know, a lot of metamorphosis. So
do you want to start with questions or do you want to start with kind of like topical things that are going on?
Let's keep it with topical and then we can ride in with the questions.
If you're Nabi Keita, how are you feeling right now? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling like, I don't know about this?
Well, I mean, it depends how friendly he is with the general. This colonel for the Guinea army, so... It's whatever he says goes, you know. So it depends what the dynamics are of Guinea, how the army views the football team, and so forth. Because at the moment, no one can go in, no one can go out. Do they want to just keep them hostage in Guinea ad infinitum, or are they like, oh look, man, you know, let's while we sort out this whole thing, you can go ahead since you've served Guinea well as football stars in Liverpool and so forth. All right, you can go back to your places.
I wonder. If it was Pogba, what do you think would happen?
Oh, because Pogba is more famous.
Yeah.
Wait, Pogba is part Guinean?
His brother's on the national team. I forget Wait. Which one, but you know, he has twin brothers.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's Florentin. You could mistake them for triplets. They look that much alike, but...
No. I mean, like, those guys are twins, but Pogba looks very different from them, too.
Not to me.
No, they do. Like I can tell that. Oh yeah, like those are the twins. That's Pogba, because they're just chunkier. Their faces are a lot more hefty, and Pogba is a lot more slimmer.
So, yeah. Oh, okay. I feel you on that one. They still look like. Oh, those are definitely brothers. Is what I meant. But yeah, I wonder if you added like you know to Paul Pogba and this and that, the government may be forced to do something that it otherwise wouldn't. But you know, Nabi Keita, he's famous enough. He played for Leipzig. He played for Liverpool. The coup is probably instructive of this. You know how, I'll use Nigeria, Mikel would have to like rent hotels and planes and buses for the team because he was like the most well-paid and all that kind of stuff. Like I think Keita, there's like he's trying to charter a flight for all of his teammates who are playing outside of Guinea.
Oh yeah.
So they can get back to their clubs. Like that should be the government's job. The government should be doing that. You shouldn't have to be the star player. You know, even in, I don't want to make that an African thing, because if I'm remembering correctly, Messi does that for Argentina at times.
Yeah.
So just the way that federations work, but maybe that's reflective of why things like that happen. Because where's the money? Like, we should have money to get all 23 or however many of you to your clubs, but you know, instead of flights, somebody's driving a Mercedes Benz. So there you go. What else happened that was curious? Oh, the Argentina Brazil game. Were you watching?
Yeah.
So what happened? Because I didn't watch it. I just saw people reacting to it.
I know, like the game was just playing, and then there was just this guy on the pitch. I was like, what's this guy on the pitch? And then Acuna from Argentina just was trying to shove him off. And the guy refused to be shoved off. I was like, so the first thing you just thought there was maybe an argument between both of the trading people. So I thought, oh, maybe someone said something. And now there's Argentina and Brazil are basically going at each other, you know, both of the dugouts. Then I went to Twitter, and then all of the journalists were saying that, oh, like, craziness, we've never seen this before. Apparently, like, the health authorities and Brazilian police are coming to pretty much reprimand and deport four Argentinian players who didn't pass COVID protocols. I was like, what?
Deport? So for,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because they didn't go through proper COVID protocols, because I think, so the reason, because if you look at Brazil, they didn't have Edison, Alisson, Fabinho and so forth, all the guys from the UK, because I think Brazil is on the red list for the UK. So I think you have to go through some serious COVID protocols if you're coming from the UK to play in Brazil.
So you have to like quarantine for a certain number of days.
So obviously it's not enough days for you to play. So hence why a lot of UK guys say, okay, no, we're not going to release any of our players. That's why I think Cavani didn't go and so forth, you know.
So who are the Argentina? So you'd have
Lo Celso, Romero, Martinez. And I think there's one more. I don't know who the fourth one is. But I know it's those three for sure.
The guy who plays for Norwich. Or it might be Villa now. What's his name? Buendia?
Basically, those guys, so that was the issue. So basically, you saw like Messi. Wait, this was pretty interesting. Like, guys are like, because I think they Math read Messi and said that he was, we've been here for 4 days. Why didn't you inform this of us when we're here for all these 4 days? So if you deduct it, you say to us that Bolsonaro is super anti, let's lock down everything with COVID, he doesn't take it seriously. And a lot of the governors are like, man, what is this guy doing? So guys are saying that, I think the match was played in Sao Paulo. And a lot of the Sao Paulo governors want strict lockdowns. And Brazil are one of the worst to have dealt with this whole COVID thing. Mm-hmm. So you are saying to us that maybe this was like a stunt of let's wait, disrupt this match, make the headlines everywhere, because now everybody is now talking about this. And now it's okay, wait, why did this happen? Because of COVID, blah, blah. And they now put Bolsonaro in the hot seat, you know. So crazy. And I'm not sure what's happened, but at the moment, I think I didn't know where I awarded the win, I think. So
how far were we into the game?
Oh, 15 minutes, 16 minutes.
They should replay it,
man. Oh, no, but fixture. Look, we're living in COVID times. Fixture congestion, man. It's very hard to reschedule, you know, especially during these days. Rescheduling and so forth is going to be hard.
It's Brazil, so. Argentina. I think they can find a way. That's a big match not to play.
Just, scheduling is scheduling.
Just, what is that? A 3-0 forfeit or something?
Yeah.
Damn. The chess game at play there? If it's true, that's pretty good. Although you're putting people at risk, so how good is it really? Messi's right. Like, we've been here for 24, 48, 72, 96 hours. You couldn't have told us before
the game started. They were trying to prove their points, man.
Do it before he blows the whistle to start the game. Why run onto the pitch 15 minutes in? Unless, as you suggest, it's just there for publicity, just to make the Brazilian government look bad, which perhaps they need to. If it saves people, you know, maybe it's...
Yeah, no, it's it makes no sense. That's, why would you stop the game? Like, isn't it something that you should have informed people of way before? I'm sure that if you had said to Argentina, hey, these guys can't play because they've... So that's why it's on CONMEBOL. The issue is between CONMEBOL and the health authorities. Because obviously the health authorities will say to CONMEBOL, who obviously are organizing these qualifiers, like, hey, these guys can't play because of so-so and so. And CONMEBOL will be like, will tell the referee and the people that, look, these guys can't play. And so that these guys are sorry, you guys cannot play and so forth. So I think CONMEBOL were trying to ignore that and allow the game to go ahead. And the health officers were like, oh, shit, really? All right, we're going to mess things up for you. So that's why it's on CONMEBOL. So
that's clever, I think. Those are just the two things that come to mind. So we have a coup, and we've got some COVID stuff going on in South America. But you were going to say something?
I mean, well, there's this whole thing of Conte and Arteta.
What's happening?
Oh, no, well, basically, like, now it's not true, but these are just rumors. Rumors were apparently, they have spoken to Conte's representatives, but nothing is concrete.
I've been saying this for weeks.
Yeah, no, but the idea is he may have like two or three games to save his cheddar, Arteta.
I've been saying for weeks the smartest thing is you allow the transfer window to close, then you sack Arteta. Because you don't want to hire Conte with the transfer window still open, because then he'll start making foolish demands. So what you do is you wait until the transfer window shuts and you have at least 4 months. The transfer window's closed.
But why would Conte join then? If there's no transfer, like, has Conte ever joined a team midway through the season? No, I don't think so.
Why would he join?
So my thing is, okay, so I'm going to join. I have no transfers. I can't bring in any of my players. And you're giving me lack of threats. Aubameyang and these dudes up until January.
Cash.
You know.
Cash considerations have hope. Conte doesn't care about football. He's a mercenary. He just wants money.
So if
Arsenal pay him, he will show up.
And so you're saying he wasn't well played at Inter Milan? He was well played.
Why did he leave?
Because Inter said, yes, you've won the Scudetto and so forth, but you know what? We're not going to give you any players to buy and also start selling players.
That's why you do it after the transfer window. But he wants money. Why did he tank at Chelsea, allegedly?
Severance package. But that's the difference. Like, for me, as dickish as that is, I'm like, fine, get your severance package, man.
I'm not hating on him. I'll just say it. He's clearly a man that, like, look, if you give him money, he'll show up.
Yeah, but
if you promise him money, he'll show up.
Wanting to get a severance package isn't a guy who has a loss for money. No, that's different. That's severance package is something that it's just annoying how he did it. But putting my annoyance aside and my bias aside, you are entitled to a severance package.
I don't appreciate him. He's a great manager, club manager.
Yeah, trash.
Well, league manager.
It's going to be very weird though if Inter Milan make it through the group with Inzaghi. So back to never did very bad for Juve, never left the groups with Inter Milan. And if Simone Inzaghi in his first season with Inter, they make it through the groups.
Who's in their group though?
Is Real Madrid in their group?
Champions.
Or was that last year?
Groups. Group A is PSG, City, Leipzig, and Bruges. Group B is Atletico Madrid, Liverpool, Porto, and Milan. By the way, did you know that the Portuguese league is above the French league?
Yeah, I know. They just changed it. So, no, that's crazy. Which is why they said the narrative is that, oh, Messi has now joined it, a league not even in the top five. So,
Group C is Dortmund, Ajax, Sporting Lisbon, and Besiktas. Shout out to Mishi. And you were correct. Group D, Madrid, Inter, Shakhtar, and Sheriff.
Oh, wow. Sheriff. Because last year it was the same three, but Gladbach.
No, Shakhtar, yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's crazy.
Group E, Bayern, Barca, Benfica, Dynamo Kiev. Is that a microwave? Group F, United, Atalanta, Villarreal, Young Boys.
Oh, pause on that name, man.
It's not pause unless you make it pause. Group G. Yeah, this is an even one. Lille, Salzburg, Sevilla, Wolfsburg. No idea who's going to come through there. Basically, the two teams that come from there, anybody who wins their group will want to play that team. Group H, Chelsea, Juve, Malmo, Zenit.
I mean, it's like there really isn't one crazy, crazy group, though. Like, it should have been the Bayern Barca group, but just that Barca are so trash that
Porto, yeah, Liverpool, Madrid, Milan, Atletico Madrid and Milan. That's a good group. I mean, it has, what would you call it, prestige. How good the teams actually will be, we'll have to see. But you're going to San Siro and Anfield and Porto Stadium, Wanda Metropolitano, if I have that one correctly. So that one will be good. Leipzig, PSG, City. That's cool. Bayern are going to slap Barca.
No, but that's, but who knows? What if Barca somehow shocked the world and they actually beat Bayern? Because I think everyone was expecting them to get levitated, man. But what if they're like, you know what? Let's flip the freaking scripts.
I did want to discuss this. Yes, I remember. We just did talk about this last week. What did we talk about last week? I forgot. Bayern beat somebody 12-0, man.
Yeah, oh, is that Werder Bremer VVV or something?
It's not, no. It's just, I think they're called Bremer SV. I'm looking at them now. I don't think it's Werder Bremen because they were green, I think. These guys are blue. I don't know. So there was a red card in the 76th minute. So you might think, oh, that's what happened. But in the 76th minute, the score was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Nil already. So the red card, it didn't have any impact. You already losing by 8. They just scored 4 goals in the last however many minutes. So the reason I brought this up, because you said they're going to levitate people. Have you considered expanding your definition table? Because it only stops at 10.
Oh, no, that's worth it. Because see, it's funny, you know, when I did that, I thought that hardly anybody's going to
no way get to 9 or 10. More than 10 goals.
Yeah, no one's going to go, but I think I'm going to do like an official one because I need to bring in gentrification. I need to bring in prenatal engineering. I need to bring in colonization. So I need to update the term. So yeah, there's going to be an official new update.
So you have, so 3 is a lubrication.
Mm.
4 circumcision, 5 baptism, 6 sacrifice, 7 exploitation, 8 is a persecution, 9 is a resurrection, 10 is a reincarnation. So all of these except baptism and their shuns. So lubrication, yeah. Shun.
You've neglected halfway.
And ism. So you don't have enough isms, whereas, you know, because you want to go gentrification. So, where the
exorcism?
Isms?
There should be an exorcism.
There's no isms except baptism. And there's no ments. So I said bamboozlement, impeachment, disfigurement, rearrangement, infringement, enslavement, redevelopment. There's so many ments.
Imagine getting enslaved. See, I think that's pushing the envelope too much. I think that's going a bit too far.
I was just listing all the bad ments I could come up with. But I was like, bro, you haven't used ment and you haven't taken advantage of ism.
Oh my gosh. They got enslaved. Oh God.
Personally, I like bamboozlement. I like redevelopment.
No, I've used that if it's just that, but I've used bamboozle a few times. Like, I've used bamboozle a few times.
A rearrangement.
You see, gentrification, that's a nice one. We got gentrified. Gentrification is a nice one.
Colonialism, imperialism.
Imperialism.
I don't know. Ism's a weird one. I don't know if that necessarily works. Shuns work. Ment, but I'm just like, yo, there's a bunch of suffixes here that you haven't maybe explored.
I won't even put it on my list, man. Let me even pull my list up, man. Wait, where's this thing?
Because 12-0. Jeez, man.
Yeah, not this. I said something needs to happen. Wait, new folder.
New folder.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna call it the beatdowns.
Do you know what you need to do? And I don't know if I'm giving people game. You gotta make shirts, man. And you just gotta put like the
word. Yeah, all the
just define it.
Oh no, it's there's so much stuff because I have to make a shirt that says "Let me land" and mute your mic.
These are one-off shirts, man. So you just buy a shirt that says baptism.
Oh, no.
And then there's another shirt that says...
make a shirt that has all of the names and all of the things that can fit on one shirt, boom.
No, but you could make 10 shirts instead of making one shirt with 10 names on it. Or you could have 11 shirts, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That'd be great. And then you could have maybe like examples. So what's a 6-goal deficit?
That's circumcision, I think.
And then you have 7-1.
Oh, yes.
Who knows? It's just ideas, but you know, they're out there, man. They're out there. All right. The story I wanted to talk about is actually sad. So there's no real way to transition into this. Have you heard
of... Oh, wow. I think I know the story.
Yeah, Jean-Pierre Adams.
Yeah.
You know the story?
I mean, I read... When the story came up, I basically read the thing. I'm like, Jesus.
I don't know. I've read about it a year or two maybe ago. And, you know, you know the thing, the stories you kind of read on like The Guardian or something or CNN or whatever it is. You just, that's sad and a bit not nice, I guess. But then you just, it's not me. It's not my life. It's on the other side of the world. You just kind of get rid of it. And then, bang, something happens and it brings it back. It's like, oh, yeah, that sad thing. And it gets sadder, right? So this guy, he was born in Senegal in the 1940s. Jean-Pierre Adams is his name. And... He was, I guess he moved to France. He became a footballer. He made appearances for the French national team. He was part of like, he was a center back. So the center back pairing was him and blanking on the surname, but they were both black. So they called them the Black Guards. He was, so, you know, a national defender. So obviously he was really good. You're getting caps for France in the 70s. It must be good. Especially if you're black.
Actually, was this before Tegana? Because I think Tegana was 80s, I think.
1988. So they wouldn't have played necessarily unless he had like a last... Because I think his last game was in 1981. So it's possible? No, his caps were between 1972 and 1976. But... Mm. He was a PSG player as well. He played 2 seasons, played for Nice, played for Nîmes. You're from Senegal, born and raised. You go to France when you're a preteen, young teen, whatever. The state of the pitches and things in the 1970s, these were the times like if you tore your ACL or your Achilles or something like that, your career is over pretty much because the sports science wasn't there to get you back. Now, Loftus-Cheek and Callum Hudson-Odoi, they can tear their Achilles in their back within a matter of months. It's like this couldn't happen years ago where somebody tears their ACL and they come back better, like Memphis Depay. You tear your ACL and you're a better footballer than you were before. How? Back in the day that happens, it's like, bro, you better learn how to say something on TV or radio commentary. I don't know. Do you have a degree? Maybe not. So this guy, he's 30, just turns 34. In 1982, I believe, and there's something wrong with his ACL, I'll put it that way. So he goes in for surgery, and it's supposed to be some routine, you know, we're just going to go in the knee, fix a few things. But basically, the part of your body that helped you get to where you were, it needs work, you know, because that's the tax, essentially, of being a professional footballer. So he goes in for a surgery in Lyon, France. And it's just a weird confluence of circumstances where the hospital, like there's a strike of nurses. We know how the French get down when it comes to like striking and public things like that, right? So the nurses are on strike. So I guess, and I'm not a doctor, so I guess anesthesiologists are considered nurses or somewhere close, but either way. Like there's 8 operations happening at the same time. And I think they have 2 or 3 nurses. And one of them's like a senior one. One of them's kind of in the middle. And one of them's like a trainee. He gets like the trainee person. They don't intubate him correctly. And on the table, his brain loses oxygen. And when I read the story, I was like, a lesser person would have died. Like if it was me on the table, I'd probably die. But he's a professional footballer. So his lungs, his heart, his body is in peak shape. The only thing that's wrong with him is his knee. So he's fit enough probably to survive something that somebody like me might not make it from. But then that means, especially because his wife wasn't willing to euthanize him, because that's a crazy thing to ask of someone. Now you're just in a coma for 40 years. I think his wife said even if they knew that the nurses and people were on strike, they wouldn't have done it. They would have waited. It was important, but it wasn't like, yo, my leg is hanging off or something like that. So, yeah, it's just a terrible story. And his wife, just I think about the wife as well and his kids, but just the wife. For 40 years, you have to, because she wasn't willing to keep him in a home because God knows what happens in a home like that. So she's like, nah, I'm going to take care of him myself. But that binds her as well, because now you're attached to somebody that's in a coma, but you can't let them go. So your life is almost on pause with him. It's just, it's like, you know, look, it's a love story in a sense,
it's crazy, man.
It's tough, man. But yeah, it's just, and he passed away earlier today. So rest in peace, Jean-Pierre Adams.
Like, when I just saw the story, I mean, what are you supposed to say? Like, how are you supposed to react? Like, this is just sad and bad, unlucky, bad luck, messed up all around. Because it's like, Jesus. So
the number of things that had to lead to that outcome, I think about it and I'm just like, that is just terrible.
No, but then that's why you have to flip it. Because if it's now this way, you now get philosophical. If you now believe in choice, that can just make you go crazy. That's, oh my gosh, what if you didn't? Or what, was it because, or did I make a bad choice by allowing them to do this and so forth? Like, if I had chosen this, then that would just make you go crazy and mad. But if you just believe everything that happens was meant to happen and fate and destiny and so forth, that's just his life story. That was always going to meant to happen. There's nothing that the wife could have done or he could have done or so forth. What if only you had, when I was given this choice? No, you know, so it depends how you want to look at it philosophically. So
I was thinking about it from, if he totally ruptured his ACL, and this was like a really serious version of it, he's going to get the best medical attention possible, you would think, to where he would have got the best nurse, best doctor, best anesthesiologist. Like, they would have focused on him in a way that would have been appropriate to the level of injury they thought he had. You can read a book called Medical Apartheid that maybe suggests something different. Because again, it's a Senegalese man in France. But or if it was a lesser injury and he didn't require anesthesia, and you could just kind of go in non-invasive. I don't know what the science was in 1981, 1982, but maybe they didn't have that option. But, you know, so his injury was just in a space where he had to be anesthesiized, if that's a word. Or you go in a week later or the week before and everything's fine. It's just, again, like if you go into the domino effect, who knows when you start and when you stop. But yeah, it's just, I just think about his wife especially. Can you ask somebody to say enough is enough? Or do you just always have hope, no pun intended, that he can pull through?
No, that's right. It's down to the individual, you know, because it's like, I can understand you being in that situation and you're always holding on to hope that maybe. So,
and again, he's a fit professional athlete. If anybody's going to pull through, you think maybe he can. So you keep going. Like, you can't ask someone to pull the plug, I don't think. You know, I remember my dad, he was doing his, you know, when your parents get to a certain age, they got to fill out their will and all this kind of stuff. Mm. So my dad came to me, he was like, all right, you're going to be the guy. I was like, I don't want that responsibility, man. But it's mine. So if anything happens, especially if my mom's not around, knock on wood, God forbid, you know, it's in my hands to decide, do you plug? Do you unplug? Like, what happens? I empathize with her completely in that sense. Like, I don't think I could pull the plug on my mom or my dad or my brother. Like,
See, if I was in that position, I ain't doing it. You know, no way.
But then what does that set you up for? Especially, like, your father, if he's 80 or something, it might be a little bit easier. But this guy, he's 34. He's in the prime of his life. So you're now, she's probably in her, they're the same age, late 60s, set early 70s. Like, she spent the majority of her life caring for someone who's in a coma. Like, that's a next level of commitment. But yeah, I think about it not too frequently, but frequently enough where I'm like, oof, that's a tough place to be.
Life, man, it's gonna happen, man. You know, in life, things get worse. They don't get better. They get worse. So,
All right, let's do some questions. Considering all the love that Tammy's getting from Roma, what are the chances he comes back to Chelsea after the way his goals were cast aside for Werner's pace? And that's Black Emoji, and he screenshots the meme of the certified lover boy that Roma did with Tammy instead. So, by the way,
what's so it's like six Tammy's pregnant?
No.
Yeah, but I thought you just said it's the cover boy with Tammy. So I thought, is it Tammy as an emoji pregnant nine times? Oh, okay.
And it says certified baller instead of certified lover boy. But do you think Tammy's ever going to go back to Chelsea?
Until I... No.
I think it's possible, but not in the time frame that's prescribed by the clause.
Don't be reactionary. But see, if Tammy's smart, this is your home now. And become a Roma legend.
No, I'm saying the people think at the end of the 2 years, Chelsea will pay the 80 million and he'll come back to Chelsea. I don't think that's going to be the case.
No.
I think he's going to stay. He'll probably go to another English club. Who knows? Or maybe he'll decide if he's really good at Roma, that could be a move to Juventus, to Inter, to... I mean, I think Nini said that he always saw him at Bayern as a kind of Lewandowski.
No. Come and go. Like, you're talking about guys. So we've seen? We've seen Luca Toni. We've seen Pizarro. We've seen Mandzukic. Then we've now had Lewandowski.
If the first two games that I've seen of him are the basement level.
But it's just two games, though.
That's what I'm saying. It's the first two games. I'm just saying.
I'm talking about Bayern Munich's prime striker. Come on, man. This is Bayern Munich, man. Come on.
What have we lamented on this podcast for years, it seems like? They're not making great number nines anymore. That's why Morata's being passed around everywhere from Juventus to Madrid to Chelsea to Atletico. Like, there's a reason. They're not making that many great number nines anymore. So if there's a chance that one might be good, somebody will have to take a chance. So once Benzema, Lewandowski, Suarez, increasingly Kane, Lukaku, once they get into their 30s and retirement, what's the next crop of striker? Jovic? Kramaric? Andre Silva? Oh, obviously we have Haaland. It's okay. But Tammy's going to probably be in that conversation, whether we like it or not. It doesn't seem like he should be. But where are the great number nines coming from?
Tis a point. Tis a point, dear sad. Dear sad. But still, I just that. It's too much just to put that connection right now of Tammy and Bayern, man.
I'm just quoting Nini, who I say is the best Chelsea content creator on YouTube. No offense, but you don't claim Chelsea, at least not until recently. So,
no, don't worry, man. I'll accept that insult and abuse, man. It's fine.
All right, this kind of goes into what we were talking earlier. Do you think Brazil or Argentina can win the World Cup in the foreseeable future? I don't think so. I think the big European nations have cracked the code on player development for their younger players.
Was that still the question? Was that you?
No, that's a question.
Oh. For me, Brazil, no. Argentina, I have a very sneaky feeling. The world seems to be rhyming. Something tells me that Portugal and Argentina are going to meet either in the final or somewhere. It just feels like if the world wants to rhyme.
How much of you is saying this because you desperately don't want it to happen?
Oh, no. This is fully... When Messi won the Copa America, I was like, I think something in the universe is telling me that it's going to happen. Something just telling me in the universe that it's going to happen.
How often is this feeling in your stomach correct?
Like 1 out of 10 times, but you know. Rush Hour
90% chance I'm wrong on this, but I feel like things are lining up.
Rush Hour 1 and 2 is on Netflix now.
Oh, is it? I have it on DVD, so we're good, but
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Which one? Both?
I've not seen Rush Hour 1 for a long time. Because Rush Hour 2, I watched it several times.
Rush Hour 1 holds up. In terms of it
does.
It's the best film of the three.
What's it called? Another Part of Me. Like, do you know how hilarious that scene was? Because I think I said that. So if you take away the music and you're just walking down the street, a black guy shot a car, it blew up, and he's now basically doing a Michael Jackson move to no music. So you think that, wait, what the bloody hell is going on here?
Funniest, that's Rush Hour 2. And Rush Hour 3, I don't know what Rush Hour 3 is the best at. It's just, it exists just to complete the trilogy.
No, Rush Hour 3 has probably
action
the funniest scene, because we watched it in the cinema, and I think it's a scene where, like, I laughed so much, I think I just fell down on the floor in the cinema. You know when they're singing in the play and you see Jackie Chan come down in like a swing from up high? Yeah, like, I lost it, man. Because it was so stupid. I was like, oh, this is stupid. But seriously, wait, is she still married to Makalele?
No. Naomi Lenoir?
Yeah, man. Since I was like, no, that's what you call it. Damn. She hot.
Oh, the nastiness in the Premier League, Mendy, Sigurdsson, etc. Make it make sense. We can't.
And don't talk to me about Lacazette and Odegaard as well. I don't want to know. Thank you.
We're not going to speak about outstanding investigations regarding sensitive subjects. And we touched on Keita. So we appreciate your trust in thinking that we're capable of handling that one. Would Cristiano and Messi be as good if they didn't have each other as rivals? From Bruno Alves.
Messi would still be the same. Cristiano, I'm not sure. For me, because
I agree with you.
Yeah, Cristiano cares more about the rivalry than Messi. Messi doesn't give a damn about the rivalry. Like, all Messi cared about was winning something for Argentina. Cristiano cares a lot about the numbers and being compared to Messi. So he feeds more into the rivalry than Messi does. Messi couldn't care less about the rivalry. So
I think Messi has relative blinders on. He's just focused on what he's doing. I think Cristiano, because some people might be triggered by this, but because he's the one behind and he's the one chasing or feeling as if he has to chase, he has to be focused on, that's the measuring stick. That's who I have to go beat. If that's the best, then let me be better than the best. He's just in his own lane doing his own thing.
Yeah.
In 15 years' time, we won't be having the same conversation if it ends up this way between Mbappe and Haaland. Their eyes are on these two now, and they're like, I want to be better than them. So I think they both have targets. I don't think they have the blinders on in the same way. There's a reason Mbappe is trying to get out of PSG.
I believe that we'll never see a Cristiano Messi rivalry for a long time. This is just something very unique of this era. Like, both international flops, but have really redefined consistency. You know, for the era, man.
So. And you know what? I don't think we need a rivalry in every era. Like, I just did it there almost without thinking through it. Haaland and Mbappe don't need to be combined together.
Yeah, it's like, if you look at it,
it's fine. They can be their own guys and exist in their own worlds.
It's like,
they might even end up playing together. So
yeah, because like, I remember Sampras and Agassi. It was a rivalry, but nowhere near like Nadal and Federer. Like, Nadal and Federer is a very unique rivalry that I don't think tennis will ever see again.
Is it really a rivalry?
Of course it is.
Nadal wins on clay. That's all he does. He just wins a bunch of French Opens. Like, Federer has...
And Nadal has beaten him at Wimbledon before. And they have the greatest game of all time. But my thing is that...
To be fair, Djokovic is better than all of them, but...
You know, statistically, yeah, but just that, when you just thought of like these two guys at the very top of their game playing some of the best tennis that the game has ever seen, is those two. So it's like Mbappe and Haaland are going to have like 2-3 years, then Fati may come through, Felix may come through. So this Cristiano Messi thing is just unique for this time. And after that, we're not going to see this kind of like, oh, for 6-7 years, then winning all this Ballon d'Ors now. No.
So. Yeah. If, how would I put this? Do you think maybe if Hazard went to Madrid earlier and Neymar stayed at Barcelona, do you think that would have been fashioned as one?
No.
No? Okay.
I mean, again, because we've never had players as consistent as Cristiano and Messi, because what they have done isn't normal for football.
True. So it's like having two Maradonas at the same time. Or like two Pelés at the same time.
No, but no, like,
or two R9s at the same time.
No,
that's never happened.
It's not that though, because none of those guys were as consistent as these dudes. So,
no, just like that level of stardom though. No. Normally, there's only room for one.
No, on that
level, who's the contemporary of Maradona in the 80s? Like, who was the other guy?
Mazzini.
That's not close. In the 50s and 60s, who was the contemporary of Pelé?
Garrincha.
That's not close. In the 90s, who was the contemporary? Like, you could go with Zidane and Ronaldo, maybe.
Well, Zidane only really began to pop off really
in the 2000s.
In the 2000s. And then when it gets into 2000, you have Zidane, you have Rivaldo, you have Henri, you have Figo. So.
Okay. Wenger's push for World Cup every 2 years and Euros at Copa America and AFCON the other year. International games are played over a specific period every year, over June and July, for example. Do you like these ideas? Would that be too much football? And what would you do?
Crap.
Okay. Imagine every odd year there's Euros, Copa, AFCON, all at the same time.
Crap.
That would be this year. It was kind of crazy with Euros and Copa America, and that's going to happen regardless because they've synced the schedules. But that was already a bit crazy. Add the AFCON to it. As people who care about the AFCON, there's some people that are like, oh, who watches that, but I watch it. So that's just, it's too much football for me. You know, it was good to have the break when the Euros and Copa America ended before the season. It was good just to have like 2-3 weeks without any football. The idea of having, okay, can someone just hire Arsene Wenger as a football manager? Is that too much to ask? There's no club out there that could use his services, Strasbourg, wherever he's from. Like, you can't hire him? Like, what's going on? The Netherlands brought back Louis van Gaal. We can bring back Wenger. We can get him a club somewhere. Why is he proposing things?
Who?
Arsene Wenger. Is he trying to leave his imprint on like the larger game of? We saw, because Arsenal's been so disastrous for the past like 5-6 seasons or whatever it is under different management. Are we meant to forget that this guy was declining Arsenal at a precipitous rate for like a decade? But then we're gonna give him football? Like, if you can't handle Arsenal, why should I trust you with football?
Arsenal would be happy to have Wenger back now.
If you right can't now. Handle Arsenal, why should I trust you with football? I need an answer to that. Not from you, but just the general public. If a man can't be trusted with Arsenal Football Club, why should we trust him with the future of the sport?
So wait, what do you mean that he couldn't be trusted with Arsenal Football Club?
Did we
see? Like, those are mutually exclusive.
When was the last time that Arsenal was good or like won a trophy, major trophy?
Under Wenger.
When? 2004.
Yeah.
We're not counting FA Cups here.
Yeah.
So the unbeaten Premier League 2003-2004 season. He left Arsenal in 2018, I think. It's like 13 or 14 years with no trophies. Mourinho exposed him.
Sash.
He was running Arsenal. Okay. Saying Arsene Wenger run Arsenal into the ground is a bit harsh. We know the ownership. We know the stadiums and all that kind of stuff. He was getting Champions Leagues, not top four, getting knocked out by Milan, Barca, Bayern every year. But Arsenal Football Club was in a state of decline under Arsene Wenger, which is why they had to get rid of him. So a man who was running Arsenal on a downward trajectory has now been handed the reins to the entire sport, it seems, because they've given him some office in FIFA. So my point is, if a man whose powers were declining in terms of his tangible grasp on a football club, why would his ideas work for the sport as a whole? Or are you saying that his managerial skill has no input on these things?
Like
because he's... I would make the argument, just quickly, that him declining as a manager is now making him try to kind of regain some sort of status or control, perhaps, over the sport as it goes, because that will be his legacy. Because maybe in his mind, he feels like his legacy has been slightly tarnished because of that decade plus of subpar results. So now, what is my next move? How do I get my kind of reputation back? Well, let's just reshuffle the football calendar. It'll be the Jules Rimet, wasn't that the guy at the beginning? Yeah. It could be the Arsene Wenger trophy. McDonald's, Visa, Coca-Cola. They would love this.
Basically, the inputs by Wenger are trash, but it has nothing to do with his managerial skills with Arsenal. Those are just completely different. They're mutually exclusive.
I'm not talking this. The managerial skills isn't the complete picture, because he was at the helm of Arsenal. He wasn't the head coach. He was the manager, meaning contracts, transfers, on the pitch, off the pitch. He controlled Arsenal Football Club. He probably had more input than the owners. So I'm saying he was the person who was stewarding Arsenal Football Club. Now he's being tasked to steward football? Wenger out. Wenger out. Get him out.
Look, man, let Wenger live.
I feel like how Truce and those guys will fit. Get him out.
Let him live, man.
Do I need to bring banners to Zurich? Where's the FIFA offices? Switzerland?
Let him live. Let him live.
You know the way. You've been to Switzerland, correct?
Yes,
how do we get there?
Via plane, Swiss, eh?
I mean, once we're in the city, how do we get there? Show me the way. I need to go to the offices. I'm going to say what's up to Pep. Oh, Pep. Uncle Seb, shout out. Thank you for the World Cup. Thank you for the World Cup, Uncle Seb. But where's Arsene? We need to speak to this man. Do you remember what? Who was it that came up with other rules? Oh, we talked about this years ago. Who was it? Van Basten. Do you remember when Van Basten came up with rules? I even forget what the rules were. Just leave football alone. What is wrong with it? Florentino Perez, we're going to change the rules. We're going to make the kids these days, they're not engaged. We're going to make the game 30 minutes. Now you just have 10 more minutes to show us Heineken and gambling adverts with the, what's the dude? Ray?
Ray Winston.
Bet 364. Like, shut the, I don't want to see that. Show me football. 45 minute halves. 30 extra minutes if you guys can't win in normal time, penalty kicks at the end. Just keep it normal. The fuck is going on? World Cup every 2 years. I said I was done. I'm done.
Keep going, man. I mean, you know.
I'm finished. I feel like, you know, just Wenger out, man.
Arsene Wenger. Arsene Wenger.
As someone who does football content.
Yes, sir.
You do more football content than me.
Yes, sir.
Would you be in for every summer major competition? Because that would be good on a kind of selfish level, because people would be engaged every summer. You'd have four competitions every 2 years to talk about instead of two.
On one hand, as a content creator, it would be amazing. But as a football fan, it would be fucking trash. So therein lies the dilemma.
Do you love your channel or do you love football? Do you love your podcast or do you love football? Do you love your Twitter account or do you love football?
Do you love your
bank account or do you love football?
The reality of the matter is that it's one of those things. At the end of the day, as much as it should not be good as a football fan, bro, if it helps the channel, let's write. Let's go, man.
Isn't that what they're thinking?
No. Basically, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with the Super League. It's like people are like, oh, it's gonna, or like all these matches every single week. I'm like, bro, it's gonna be amazing. And also, like, I know that most of my audience are younger, and these guys will eat up Juve Barcelona every single week. Let's ride. Let's get it.
I'm not against the Super League because club football is a mercenary activity. It's yes, sir. Its main purpose is not, it's not for the greater good, you know. The World Cup could be used for the greater good, I think, because it brings people, cultures, countries together that otherwise wouldn't. Club football is there explicitly to make money. The days of it being, you know, we're fan owned and we're just an athletics club and, you know, we're here to bring people together, that died like maybe even before World War II or World War I, who knows. It's about cash now.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all.
Cash with your Super League? Go ahead. Just make sure it works and it doesn't. You see, UEFA saying we don't want this. Like, UEFA's kind of ruined their position with me, like getting rid of away goals and all this kind of stuff. Like, you don't have good faith in my mind anymore. What could I do, really? Let's say I hate this so much. Like, what could I actually do to stop it as a one guy? Exactly. So the World Cup existed before I got here. The format existed before I got here. It'll be here after me. What are your biggest what-ifs in football? Mine is, what if Aguero starts over Higuain in those three Argentina finals? And what if Asamoah Gyan buried his penalty against Suarez after the handball? And that's from Adage.
Oh, good old Adage. My biggest what-if might be if Robin scores those two 1v1s. So Spain never win the World Cup, Holland win the World Cup. Robin has a World Cup. You're looking at a horseman.
That's your biggest what-if?
Yeah.
It's not like Nigeria against Denmark or...
No, but that's a particular moment in time. You see, obviously, I could be, if Nigeria, but there's nothing specific. So that thing is a very specific thing of like, wow, what if he scored those two 1v1s? Look, Nigeria, we lost to 4-1. And those guys didn't bother to train because they thought that they'd beat Denmark in their sleep. So that's very complicated, man. So
what if
Anelka scores that penalty? That's weird because John Terry is. But if Terry scores that penalty.
Or what if Drogba doesn't slap Vidic and he stays on the pitch? How does that affect
the future? True. I mean, that one is like you never know. But what is better specific is Cristiano misses that penalty. Terry scores that penalty. Chelsea win. United don't win. Does Cristiano still win a Champions League with Man United still? And now John Terry now becomes even much more of a greater legend. And by that, does that affect 2012? In the fact that, we've already won it. So.
What if Neymar picked Madrid instead of Barcelona? Or more accurately, what if Madrid picked Neymar instead of Barcelona?
Yeah.
Because basically the clubs were picking him. And whoever gave him the most money, that's where they went. So, or have hope. I mean, what if Ronaldo didn't get knee injuries?
Oh, changes everything. Changes everything. Changes the whole discussion. Because then we're looking at a guy who will change for football. And maybe if he doesn't have any of those dangers, maybe we look at a guy who does what Messi did Cristiano before them. So look at the guy for 5, 6, 7 years who goes crazy. It's funny, like a guy on Instagram said that, I think he says he's like 19 or 20, he's 20 or 21, and he never saw Ronaldo. And he's like, you should do a video about Ronaldo. And it's like, yeah. Like, it's so interesting, like, younger people, because it's hard for me to really picture, if you're 18 and I say, oh my God, like, you were like a baby in 02. Or like you were not even born in 02, because you were born in like 03. It's like, oh shit. That's crazy. That is crazy. Because like 02, 03, I know exactly where I was. I was fully functioning, doing stuff, you know, blah, blah. Crazy, man.
Like if I go 2 years or a year before I was born, that's like Hullet Van Basten, like being great, you know? So the context that you have for things that happen, like when you're born, unless you really, really care, you're not going to go back. Mm. And then imagine having somebody tell you like, everything that you think about this sport that you really like is wrong because I'm older than you. So let me tell you this. By the way, that reminds me, let me find it. I will never question the greatness and impact of Cruyff, but I, oh, this is a quote, but I have eyes and a brain, and the player I saw on clips isn't better than Robin or Bergkamp. And then the little emoji with the, eh. And then I said, this is like a 12-year-old telling you PS2 isn't better than PS5 based on how the graphics look. Is the kid right? Of course they are. But the PS2 was of its time, something you had to experience in context of the early 2000s to grasp. And I noticed you did not respond to me, which means that you didn't have a response. So now I got to get my response in person.
Oh, wait, see, when I put that, I didn't look at any notifications. And also, I get lots of notifications, so I can't respond to a lot of them, but I didn't look at my notifications. But the reason why that's a nonsense response is Garincha is amazing in any era. Rivellino is amazing in any era. Beckenbauer is amazing in any era.
How can you just say that? How can you say that?
Because I have eyes. And when I see Garincha play, when I see Rivellino play, when I see Beckenbauer play, I'm like, oh, no, these guys, their quality transcends it. And also, see, you using the console thing, that's a horrible, horrible example, because graphics and player quality are two different things. In any era, Garincha and Rivellino will be amazing because they just have amazing football ability. Their footballing ability is just amazing at its core. When we're dealing with graphics, that is something technological. And the whole point of technology is that it improves with every given year. That's different from a quality of a player. Like, for me, Muhammad Ali or freaking Joe Frazier or so forth, Sugar Ray Robinson, or Sugar Ray Leonard, they'll always be amazing. In 2000, year 3000, year 4000, they'll still be amazing. And these are guys who are doing stuff in 60s, 70s. So using an analogy of video games and sports, oh no, that's a horrible analogy, man. That's a bad analogy, bro.
My point is, what's newer or better in appearance does not necessarily mean it is best.
And I just responded to you by saying, I have seen highlights of Garincha and Rivellino, and these guys are amazing. And I've seen highlights of Cruyff, and I wasn't impressed. And Garincha was before time.
How Rivellino was like 70s. People at the time saying that Pele was better than Garincha. Obviously, there were some who would argue the other opposite, but the dominant thought was that Pele is better than him.
Very easy. Let me respond. In 60 years' time, some guys will say, oh, Cristiano was better than Messi. And if you to take the word for it, you'd be an idiot. But then if you actually used your eyes and actually now looked at footage of Messi and Cristiano, you realize that, bro,
people don't make the argument for Pele on simply goal scoring, though. They make it on technical ability plus goal scoring. He wasn't a striker, Mike.
And for me, I believe they're wrong, because I believe that you can have an argument that Garincha was maybe better than Pele. From the footage I've seen, I don't think it's that clear that Pele was a better football player than Garincha. and hence why that's why Garincha by himself led Brazil to the World Cup in 1962, which Pele didn't do in 58 or 1970.
By himself.
Yeah. Like
a Brazilian by himself.
It was known as.
Has that ever happened?
It was known that Garincha, that was his World Cup in 1962.
He was the best player because Pele was injured, but.
But it was said that he was the main star in 1958.
That's like saying 1958, Pele was the main star in 1958 and in 1970.
In 1958, he showed up in the semis.
But
1970 wasn't the best player, bro.
But you're the same person who makes the argument for Zidane being one of the greatest. But if we look at his World Cup in 98, he only showed up in the final.
Who won best play in 06?
That's like bringing up Pele from 70 or 58. If we're sticking to 1 year, then let's stick to 1 year.
So the whole point is, I watched Cruyff, and based off the hype of this guy, you can't give me a Cruyff tone and tell me you're one of the best players of all time. Sorry. But I need more than a Cruyff tone.
But without the Cruyff turn, and not saying he invented it, but without him popularizing it, do you think Bergkamp is able to do what he does?
Yes.
No. Everything is built on the foundation of the people who came before you. No. You wouldn't exist without your parents, without their grandparents, without their grandparents' parents. Like, without them, like, you don't exist. So, like, then, the foundation of everything has to come from somewhere.
Well done for laying down the foundations, but this guy did it better than you. Now what?
That's what I'm saying. That's why the video game analogy works. Because without PS2, you don't get PlayStation 5.
No, it doesn't work. No, because you're talking about graphics.
Without the original PlayStation, you don't get the PlayStation 5.
No.
Without the original Xbox, you don't get Xbox Series.
You talked about graphics. You see, now here's the thing. Are we talking graphics or are we talking gameplay? Because the 360 is a better machine than Xbox. PS2 wipes the floor with PS3, PS4, and PS5. If we're talking about the games and gameplay.
That's why I said newer and better looking doesn't always mean best. So we agree on that point. Like the games that were in the PS2 era, we can make a strong argument they're better than the games that exist now, even though a kid would look at the PS2 game and think, what kind of brick graphics is those, man? I'm not playing that. Like, we got real life ray tracing over here. Like, this is 2020. But I would look at it and be like, bro, but the game's better. So couldn't I make the argument that just because a player is able to do things of the day, you know, nobody would make the argument Adama Traore, because he can do the skills of the day, is a better footballer than Pelé, even though he's probably objectively a better footballer because of one was playing in the 1950s, one's playing in 2020, one has the foundation of the last 70 years on his shoulders, the training methods, all that. But relative to their time, what Pelé was doing, that's the better game. Because his gameplay's better. That was my only argument. And maybe you can trash it, that's fine, but we have to judge things at their time. Like, and now your Garincha argument, I'm sympathetic to it. I agree with you. He was really good. Although he did have one leg shorter than the other. It was kind of like match fixing, bro. He was cheating. 3 centimeters, 4 centimeters, 5 centimeters, 6 centimeters. Like, he had a shorter leg, so I don't know. Maybe people couldn't read the dribbles. His is a sad story as well. The stress of all that stuff on his knees, and it led him to drinking and all that kind of stuff. It's a really sad story.
Garincha.
This has been Talking Texas Podcast. We talk to you guys every Tuesday, so thank you guys for tuning in, listening. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. All of that good stuff is in the links in the description. Half Hope, where can people find you on the internet one time?
You can find me on the road.
That has different connotations depending on where you say it.
Peace.
Sometimes serious.
Always football.
Deuces.
Stay black.
Sports Social Podcast Network.